If you'll open your Bible to page 1019, I'll show you a verse in a moment that is one of my very favorite in all the Bible, and then a parallel verse as well. I want to talk to you today about a broken clock. A broken clock. Interesting, we have one of those clocks in our living room that you only wind once a year. And it has a name, and don't tell me I can't hear you from here, but there's a name for one of those kind of clocks, anniversary clock. You just wind it once a year. And this morning, really, really early, I was in the living room in my prayer time, and the clock's behind me, and I just had a feeling, you've not wound that clock in a good while. And a little bit later, I turned around and looked, and that clock had run down. I had to get the key. Joel helped me, and we rewound. Had to be very careful. You'll break those springs. But, you know, a broken clock. One thing about a broken clock, think about this. It tells the correct time twice every 24 hours. I mean, a clock that won't even run does that. And I was going to explain that yesterday to the grandchildren. Charlie Joe explained it to me. She said, now here's how that is. I thought, my gracious, this won't work very well. But, of course, an unbroken clock gives the time regularly. Now, it may get off a minute or two or whatever like that. But a broken clock, you know, just twice in 24 hours will be right. And as I was thinking about that the other day, I thought, you know, there are a lot of broken clock people. They really are. There are a lot of broken clock people. And what they do, maybe there's another way to explain them, but they handle the ordinary things of life. And by the way, most things in life are the ordinary things. Really, they are. It's the same. I mean, we may be, but it's basically you're doing a lot of the same stuff, just ordinary stuff, day after day after day after day. And there are some unordinary things, but, you know, broken clock people, they do ordinary things, and here's how you can pick them out in a very ordinary way. I call it, they take either the middle road or the low road. And there are a lot of people that live their life that way, especially at work. You know, they do a lot of ordinary things. They're probably going to do the same thing on Monday this week they did on Monday last week, a few extra. But no matter what they're doing, they just go about it the ordinary way. And now, unbroken clocks, they tell the regular time. And I guess you could say good clocks. An unbroken clock is a good clock. A good clock, there are a lot of good clock people. And what they do ordinary things every day also, but they do them in an out-of-the-ordinary way. And that's the kind of people you want to work for you, work where you work. That's the kind of people you want to do business with, people that just go out of their way to take care of business, and it just makes everything in life so very different. Now, on page 1019, you're in 1 Corinthians, and you're in chapter 10. If you look down in verse 31, here is a great verse that could be a standard of behavior that would bless your life and bless the lives of others and bless God. The old apostle Paul said, therefore, he's been in a great discussion about some things, and he kind of concludes that discussion by saying, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, well, that takes care of everything. Whatever you do, do all. Man, that's another, that takes care of everything, big, little, whatever, doesn't matter. Do all to the glory of God. And so that's what I want to talk about today is how we can be like good clock people, how we can go through life day after day doing the ordinary things in an extraordinary or out of the ordinary way, taking the high road. How do you do that? How can you do what this verse says? Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, I had a guy at my house yesterday to repair a dishwasher. Guy came over. Our dishwasher got something went wrong with the rack, and he came over and fixed it in about 2 minutes. And he said, that's it. And I said, well, what I owe you? He said, well, you don't owe me anything. I wasn't here for 2 minutes. I said, no, you came over here. And so this is a retired man. And so I gave him some money for what he had done, which he didn't really want. But he deserved it. And a moment ago, my phone rang, and I answered my phone, and it was the same guy calling back. He said, you know, I was thinking last night during the evening at home, there may be something that I missed that caused that thing to do that. Could I come back in the morning and just double check it? And I thought, I'm preaching this morning about that kind of person. He came yesterday, fixed it. I thought it was fixed. It may be. And I gave him a little gift of money, and he went. But he did an ordinary thing. For a guy can do something like that, that'd be pretty ordinary. But he's so conscientious. And you say, well, I want to find who that repairman is. Well, I have a table right outside the door, and I'll give you his name. But anyway, I just thought, even as recent as this morning. Now, Jesus had much to say about people being faithful with small things. And that's one of the ways we can obey this verse. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You say, what do I do? Well, number one, just simply be faithful with small things. Jesus said in one of his parables, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now, we always hear that quoted, but that's not the end of that verse. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. And then the remainder of that verse tells us what Jesus said. He said, you've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. So we want to hear that well done, good and faithful servant. Well, how do you do it? According to Jesus, you're faithful over a few things. And so good clock people are like that. And broken clock people, maybe twice a day they're faithful with something, or maybe two or three times more. But the fact is, good clock people, they are faithful day in and day out, taking care of business even with small things. Sometimes we think when we're doing small things that no one notices, and they may not. You kind of feel like, well, I'm out of sight. Nobody has any idea what I'm doing. Remember this, you're never out of sight with God. God sees every single thing you do, every single thing I do. And when we're being faithful with small things, others may not ever see, but God does. Now, there is a verse, if you'll turn over to page 1037. You turn over to page 1037, you'll be in the book of Colossians. And here is a great, great verse that parallels our verse in Corinthians. On page 1037, look in Colossians chapter 3, down in verse 23. It says, whatever you do, do it heartily. That means with all one's heart. Don't you like to be around people that do things with all their heart? Not just kind of get it done, but boy, they put themselves in wholeheartedly. That's what it, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Boy, listen, we just have to understand, like, you know, like we work and we work for people, but more important than that, we do what we do unto the Lord. Like, I certainly am responsible and accountable to the First Baptist Church to do my job. But more important to me than the people I'm accountable to, I'm accountable to God. And see, I might fool the people. They may think I'm working more than I'm working, doing more than I'm doing. Oh, maybe they might. But the truth is, that's not even the issue. The issue is you remember you work unto the Lord. You do your work as unto God. And the little things of life that so many times we just kind of don't do much with, we could do better and would if we remembered we're doing it unto the Lord. I guess one good illustration that I just started thinking, ordinary, I sign many letters every week. People visit the church. People are baptized in the church. People dedicate babies in the church. People give money. Now, I don't write all the members that give money. But if we have non-members that make a gift to the church, or if we have members that make an unusual gift for the church, I don't know what people give for the church, but I am told when there's an unusual gift. And I've always made it a habit to thank people for that. And then, but you could, you know, you look at that old stack of letters. I've got a stack on my desk over right now. And it's always tempting just to sign my name and send it on. But long years ago, I don't know exactly when, I thought, you know, it doesn't cost a penny more in postage for me to write some note or some Bible reference, or some Bible verse, or something personal saying what I need to say. And so it takes me a lot longer to do that. Of course, now, many times, you know, you can have the letter signed without even doing it yourself. They have your signature. But, you know, I just thought, you know, if you're going to write a letter to somebody, even though it may be somewhat of a standard letter, it won't take but 2 or 3 minutes more to personalize that thing and to just say what's on your heart to them in whatever way you can. And I do that, and I always remember this verse. I'm doing it not just because it's my job at the church. I'm doing it unto the Lord. Now, I don't say that bragging on me. I need to do way more than I do like that. But when I think about what that verse said, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, and how true that is. Be faithful with small things. Now, let me mention quickly a second thing. In everything you do, make God look good. That is so very important. And if you look at think about our verse, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, many people, I'm convinced, Christian people, never really give much thought to what that verse says. Whatever you do, whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. What does that mean? Do it to make God look good. Boy, listen, that's a good standard of behavior. Live my life, live your life today, making God look good. Broken clock people think seldom of that, if any. In fact, I fear broken clock people many times try to make themselves look good. And you know, if you look back in that verse in Colossians, whatever you do, do it hardly as to the Lord and not to men. So we're not trying to make ourselves look good to other people. In fact, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, let another praise you and not your own mouth. Every day, all of us have opportunities to make God look good. We really do, by how we live our life, how we respond, how we react, what we say. It's just an amazing thing. I read a few days ago, Derek Carr, you know, he's the quarterback of the Oakland Raiders, and he signed a new contract. Did y'all read about that? He signed a contract for the highest amount of money any player in the National Football League has ever signed a contract, $125 million. And what's interesting, the Texans could have gotten him, but they chose not to, I think, because he's David Carr's brother. You know, David Carr was our quarterback, didn't do too well. I'd say we probably should have gotten Derek. I don't know. But anyway, he signed a contract for $125 million, and they asked him, that's a lot of money. I mean, some of you don't seem very fazed by that, but most of us don't have $125 million. He signed a 5-year, now he doesn't get it all one day, it's 5-year contract, $125 million. It has some incentives and various reasons, but they asked him, they said, Derek, what are you going to do with $125 million? And here's what he said, listen carefully. He said, the first thing I'm going to do is give my tithe to my church. I called the business office quickly to see if he was on our church roll. I thought, wow, man, huh? And then he went on to say, but he said, that's what I was doing in college. You know, college players get a little, they don't get paid, but they get a little, we just call it a little allowance to help them with their laundry and some things like that. And he quoted the number $700. He said, when I was just getting $700 to play in my college ball, I gave my tithe to my church. It's just what I've always done. And that's exactly what I'm going to do here. The first thing I'm going to do is give my tithe to my church. And that just really touched my heart. And then they said, well, what's the first thing you're going to buy? And I thought, boy, I want to hear this. Are y'all ready for this? Did any of y'all read this? Y'all don't read paper and things? Okay. Well, he said, the first thing I'm going to buy is a Chick-fil-A sandwich. And the reporter said, you have a problem. The problem is, in Oakland, there is not a Chick-fil-A. You'll have to drive 30 miles, or 30 minutes, not miles, 30 minutes, to get to the nearest Chick-fil-A. I thought, how terrible. And then I thought, well, he could just hire somebody to go. I mean, at that kind of money, you wouldn't have to do that. But think about that. You know, here's a guy. You talk about making God look good. The old secular press, you know, most of these NFL players I see, based on the language I hear, and the lifestyle many of them, not all of them, live, I doubt many of them are giving a tithe to the church. Here's the highest paid pro football player in the history of the NFL. What did he do? He made God look good. And boy, that blessed me in such a way. Now, do this. Think about your life and the people that have impacted your life a lot. And by and large, I've just been thinking about my own life. I think your life would be much like mine. Now, I've had some high-profile people impact my life, and I won't go down that list, but there are some that I would consider far beyond anything I'll ever attain that have given their time, their help. But that being said, looking back on my whole life, it's just really been ordinary folks that were good clock people that just day in and day out, they took care of business. Whether others saw it, knew about it, didn't make any difference. I could stand here and talk till Sunday morning about people that you've never heard of, nobody's ever heard of, that truly have impacted my life. Just ordinary folks. And that's something we can all not only be reminded, but it's something we can do because most of us are ordinary people. I'm in that group, seriously. I don't say that to be humble. Anybody saying something to be humble is not humble. That's the truth is, I am a personification of just, I'm an ordinary guy. Just an ordinary guy. You know, when I went to be pastor of First Baptist Church in Sulphur Springs, Texas, and that church has had more high-profile people pastor that church than any one church as far as having a lot of them. Now, I can think of other churches that had one or two. But, that church, like a long list of just far beyond ordinary people, C. Wade Freeman, who later became over the evangelism for the Baptist General Convention of Texas, J. Howard Williams, he left Sulphur Springs, became the fourth president of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Richard Jackson pastored the largest Baptist church in Phoenix, Arizona. It had one time been a pastor of that church. Dr. Morgan, he was pastor of First Sulphur Springs. He left and went to be the president of the annuity board. John Sullivan, that was Rick Lipsy's pastor growing up. He left Sulphur Springs and went to Broadmoor and Shreveport and went from there to be over the Baptist work in Florida. I mean, the list just goes on and on. And these guys, and so I go, I'm going to go be pastor of this church. And so when some of my preacher buddies knew I was going to be pastor First Sulphur Springs, two or three of them called me and said, "Hey, man, that's some church where you're going." Said, like, how are you going to handle going there after all those people who've been there? And what they were saying is, you're not like any of them. Those are your really close friends that remind you you're just nothing, you know. Of course, they were all envious they weren't going, what it was. They said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up." And that's something we can all do. I'm a very ordinary guy. I'm not John Sullivan, Daryl Morgan, Richard Jackson, J. Howard Williams, C. Wade. Those guys are all unused. But I tell you what you can do. You can just remember these little verses and say, I'm going to make this the behavior standard of my life. Whatever I do, I'm going to do it with all my heart. And I'm going to do it for God. And not necessarily the people. See, if I please God, I'll please the people. If I don't please God, it wouldn't matter what people I please anyway. I'm saying to you today, one thing in life, wherever we are, whatever responsibility we have, we may not be all these other outstanding people, but here's what we can do. We can just show up. And I close with this. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, probably the most famous preacher in Baptist circles, that has ever lived and did more in his brief lifetime than is imaginable. One day someone asked him, "Dr. Spurgeon, how can you accomplish so much, write all these things you write and run a home like you run and do?" And he said, "Well, you just have to remember there are two of us working." And I want to encourage you. You may be the most ordinary person in the world, but remember this. If you're a Christian, there are two of you doing the job, you and the Holy Spirit. And God, to me, that is a comfort unbelievable. I'm ordinary, most all of us are, but we don't do it by ourselves. We have somebody helping us, and that somebody, God, is you in the person and power of the Holy Spirit. God, help us do what we do as unto you, to do the little things in a faithful, not ordinary way, and to do everything we do in a way to make you look good. God, we'll have opportunities to do that very thing this rest of this day and this week. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.